welcome you back to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. 5 out of 5 dentists recommend this podcast. So go ahead, get your teeth cleaned while listening to Inside Boxing Live. Pull it up on your phone while watching it on the Inside Boxing Live YouTube. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe, comment, all that good stuff, Chris. Getting that out of the way right now.
Yeah, smash that like button.
Smash it, tap in, smash it up, do everything you got to do.
I feel like such a jack off saying that, but listen, do it.
It's important. It really is important. I'm going to start, saying it more and more. Like that's the way people find the podcast. People find our YouTube page. We have big plans for 2024. Come along for the ride with us. How was your weekend, Chris? It was a lot of boxing on Saturday. There was some over in the UK. There was a lot in the USA. We'll probably talk more about what happened in the USA, but how was your weekend?
It was good. I watched boxing last night, actually this morning, because I went to sleep last night very early. I ran a half marathon.
Saw that on Instagram. Casually Saturday, ran 13 miles.
Saturday morning. I had a buddy in town who's my running partner, and we decided to go for a run. And it was one of those like, it could be 8 today, it could be 7, could be 10, could be 12, could be 13, could be 14, whatever. Could be 20. It doesn't matter. So as we're going, we're like, we feel good. Let's keep going. So end up being a half marathon.
Did you get that runner's high that I've heard? I've never experienced it, but did you experience it?
No, so we went to a German beer garden afterwards, and then I had the German beer high.
That's why you fell asleep at 8 p.m.
Not a great way to rehydrate after a 13-mile run in South Florida, but I went to sleep very early, woke up this morning like 5 a.m., like, what are we doing now? I'll watch the fights.
That happens so often to me these days where I'm like, don't fall asleep. Fall asleep at 8, wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning. Happens in Vegas a lot. There's probably a lot more to do in Vegas, though, at 4 in the morning than there is
here. Tough for us East Coast old guys to be hanging out in Vegas.
Yeah, we have plenty more Vegas trips. We'll get to March 30th on Amazon Prime Vegas trip. But first, biggest fight of the weekend was Jaime Munguia with a really, really strong performance, stopping John Ryder, handing John Ryder his first knockout loss since 2015. Dropped him 4 times. I thought Munguia looked explosive. I thought he was fluid. I thought that he was a lot of what we've seen from Jaime Munguia. I don't know exactly what we learned. He just had a guy in front of him that was durable, that went the distance with Canelo Alvarez. Were you impressed with Jaime Munguia? Was it more business as usual? Talk to me, Chris.
I'm going to disagree a little bit. I thought Jaime Munguia looked much improved.
In what aspects?
I mean, obviously offensively. He was working with Freddie Roach. He came out. Watch everyone at home. Watch this fight again. The fight ended at 1 minute 15 seconds in the first round. Jaime throws a right hand that is super straight because if you really notice, his hand was pinned to his cheekbone all day, which is not really that normal. He throws a straight right hand, left hook, bang, bang. Both of them landed very clean. And from then on, the fight was pretty much over because I believe he hurt Ryder a lot more than he showed at that point. And then from then on, I was just beating him to it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the little nuanced things that Freddie Roach understands about southpaws from working with Manny Pacquiao for so long really showed. I mean, they had a very distinct game plan of certain combinations to throw, which all worked on John, which I was surprised. I mean, John's a very durable guy. Obviously he showed that, but also John is also a crafty guy. Didn't look crafty that night.
Did not. He looked like a shell of himself. It looked like that Canelo fight took everything out of him. Whoever took Munguia by decision like I did, I was like, damn it, come on. I should have known better. I should have known that Canelo fight was, took some real miles off of John Ryder. He didn't have a game plan. Just did look a little step slow.
Dude, 35 is 35. It's true. 35 is 35. Age
36,
matters, man.
And I know that. Age matters. I learned that every single day. One thing I did notice from Munguia, it was subtle things. Look for the positives. He was a little more patient. He was setting up these shots with his jab was a little more, he was using his jab more. He was doubling up the jab. A tad more patient with his combination because when he gets his combos flowing, he's one of the best combination punchers in the sport right now. So it's a beauty to watch this guy. 43-0 now. He's 27. We talked about this in the last show. It's like, all right, maybe they're talking about, we can still improve. We can still improve. He can spend more time now with Roach, and now they're going to extend him 3-4 fights. But kind of what he is, man. He's a fun fighter, fan-friendly style, Going to get caught. He got caught a few times last night in those middle rounds. Took a few rounds off, too. So it was kind of like, yeah, it was a different version of Munguia, but it was a lot of what we've seen over the last 5 years.
Guys, his jab sucks. He showed improved jab. It still sucks. He's not a jabber. He was literally pawing with it in the first round. He threw it a little bit in the beginning. He throws a hard jab every once in a while. That lands good. Freddie is an offensive coach. I like the pairing because I believe Munguia is never going to be Pernell Whitaker. He's never going to be a defensive fighter. I think his offense is his defense. So right. A guy like Freddie, who's going to make his offense that much stronger, I think is a good thing. And we saw that on Saturday night. Again, I saw things that Freddie does in Munguia's approach, and I appreciate that. But otherwise, I mean, Munguia is what he is, like you said, man. He's a fun guy. Fun guys get hit. I like the way he fights. He fought really well. He fought much more conservative than he has in the past, because there were times where he got hit and he pulled back and waited and put his guard up and did things I haven't really seen him before. He wasn't as gung-ho, which is probably a good thing. But with the highest level guys at that weight class, still not enough for me.
Well, that's the question. I mean, after the fight, he's asked about Canelo Alvarez. I had to point that out. Asked. He didn't bring up Canelo Alvarez. Chris Mannix asked him about Canelo Alvarez. Obviously, Oscar De La Hoya talked about it during the week. He talked about it after the fight. He was ecstatic to have to see Jaime Munguia do that to
ecstatic
John Ryder.
Ecstatic is an understatement for De La Hoya.
It was a video of him jumping out of his seat, running into the ring. It's cool. It's cool to see your promoter so excited for you, but I think a lot of that had to do with, we're going to bang the drum for this Canelo fight. And the thing with Oscar, it's like, Oscar says the right things a lot of the times, but he's always like one little part off. Like for this, it's like, Munguia, I want him to fight Canelo. And we're like, okay, it's probably better than a Charlo fight, and I'm down for that. But it's going to be in September. It's like, no, September is Canelo Benavidez. We're looking for a fun placeholder in May. Canelo Munguia, if it happens, has to happen in May. So Oscar's talking about it afterwards. Munguia says it would be an honor to share the ring with him. I also heard quotes from him saying, you know what, like, you know, I need two or three more fights. And like, I just don't think he's ready for Canelo.
Bro, you're 43-0. What do you mean?
Yeah, I know. Fights? But it's like 43-0. Like, you look at go to his box rec, the first 30 fights. But point being, like, they're really going to bang the drum now for Munguia Canelo from the Golden Boy side. And I agree with what you said last week wholeheartedly. Al Heyman. That's what Canelo calls him. Al Heyman did not sign Canelo Alvarez to give Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy a payday. They signed him to fight PBC guys. So as much as the fans out there would like to see Munguia Canelo, because it's a fun fight and something in May, should be a shootout, great event, I just don't see that happening. And I think we're going to learn that in the next couple of days.
Unless.
Oh, no.
How Al gives up a piece of Canelo for September to fight Munguia, but then promises that he'll make the Benavidez fight afterwards, which case he gets another piece of Canelo later.
Well, like extend the deal?
Yep.
Well, that's already what they're talking about now. They're talking about fighting Benavidez in September, and there's going to be some rematch clause on it, so it eventually turn into a four-fight deal. But
could you see them sneaking in Munguia in the meantime?
In May?
No, in September, and pushing back the Benavidez and then making a two-fight deal off of that.
Well, it all comes down to what Canelo says. I honestly,
of course,
Al Heyman is the guy.
But Al is going to try and slip it in there to extend this as much as
he can. Well, they're already trying to extend it already with the Benavidez fight. And we're operating on the guys that they're going to fight in September. It's like what happens in May. And you would think if PBC is interested in the Munguia fight, they would go back to Golden Boy and say, hey, you want it? It's got to be May 4th. I know you guys suffered a cut over your eye. And Munguia did have
a cut. Did he get cut?
He got cut over his eye. He did bring that up too afterwards. Like, he wasn't like gung-ho about fighting Canelo. Like, Oscar was. Golden Boy was. The guys, you know, Bernard Hopkins was. Like, Munguia, maybe that's just not his style. You know, he's not a trash talker. He respects Canelo because they're both Mexican.
Very respectful, yeah.
Yeah, so I get that aspect. I wasn't expecting him to look into the camera like Benavidez does. But I just don't see it. And if it does happen, it's going to be a very quick turnaround. I like Munguia versus Berlanga. I think Jaime Munguia versus Edgar Berlanga, Mexico versus Puerto Rico. You do it on the East Coast. You could do it at the Garden. You could pretty much do it anywhere. It will do well because Munguia had 10,000 last night in Arizona. Berlanga is fighting in February. over in Orlando. I know they
and
they,
he's fighting whom?
McCrory.
It didn't matter what you said. I was gonna say whom.
Yeah, it's a guy from Matchroom that I personally am not too familiar with. I had some people chirping me on social media, like, "Mate, he ain't gonna be fighting Berlanga. He's fighting McCrory." I was like, "Okay, maybe." I would not be shocked if Berlanga got upset. I don't rate him that highly, but those are the types of names. So those are the types of fights that seem a little more likely. You know, this Golden Boy Matchroom relationship seems like it's blossoming, and Berlanga needs a guy that can cash him out. Munguia should beat him. Do you like that fight? I do.
I do too. I think it's fun. Berlanga is dangerous early. He is super talented. He's got big power, obviously. Less and less as he stepped up in class, but he actually has boxing skills as well. And I think if he really digs down, he could probably do a lot more than he's shown. With a guy like Munguia, you have no choice but to dig down. So I like that fight. I think I actually might make the best come out of Berlanga. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but I mean, why not? Let's go. That's why you fight.
Yeah, that one seems more likely. Like, I put this on our Instagram. Go check it out, Inside Boxing Live _ over on Instagram.
I'm gonna go check that out because I
Instagram's popping. Top six I put out at 168. You already texted me on the side saying you didn't like one part of it. Top six, in no specific order: Canelo Alvarez, Caleb Plant, David Morrell, Christian Mabili, David Benavidez, Jaime Munguia. How would you rank those six?
Hold on. I'm gonna pull it up right now.
Do you have Canelo number one?
Or do you have
Benavidez number one? I mean,
no, I got Canelo, Benavidez, right. Caleb Plant, David Morrell.
Wait, so you have Plant 3, 4?
I have Plant 3.
Okay, out of respect.
Morrell 4.
What's your reason for having Plant?
I have not seen enough from Morrell against high level opposition. I've seen Plant in high level opposition and fought really well. Fought really well against David Benavidez the second time. He got better after the Canelo fight. I think he got better off of the Benavidez fight. I think he beats a lot of those top guys. David Morrell, I have not seen with anyone at the world class. That's the only reason I have him at number 4, not 3.
And then you got Munguia 5?
Who was the other guy I threw in there?
Mabili, your guy, your favorite.
No, I got Munguia 5.
Okay.
Pacheco.
Oh.
Diego Pacheco 6. Wait, so one rogue. Is Canelo, 2 is Benavidez, 3 is Plant, 4 is Morrell, 5 Munguia, 6 Pacheco.
Pacheco over Mabili, which I won't argue. I won't debate you on that. Like, I just figured Mabili's up. You know, he's was just in the. He just fought 2 weeks ago. He's in the public conscience. Pacheco is still kind of like a prospect, more of a. I think he's more of a contender. Pacheco, you can easily put Pacheco in the top six here.
People with were that last win over that Argentinian guy, especially the way he did it, I got him at contender at this point.
He's really good. I mean, he's really young too, but he's really good.
He's beat way better competition than Mabili.
Yes. Mabili's last win was against your lookalike.
Who I'd never even heard of or seen.
Never heard of him either. It was a great showing for Mabili in that one. But point being, 168 is fun. We talked about this last week. Oh, Canelo doesn't have anyone to fight.
I would put Berlanga above Mabili too.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. I've had Berlanga at 7, maybe Mabili at 8.
I just like Mabili's off. I think she's got a lot of firepower. Like, I haven't seen
very fun
put together combinations like Mabili does.
He isn't. I mean, I don't think he needs to. I think he'll knock guys out. I think he knocks Mabili out.
Okay,
that's a good fight for Berlanga. Mabili.
That's the thing, and I like 168. There's a lot of good names. A lot of these guys don't like Canelo's with PBC, Plant's with PBC. Plant already fought Canelo. Morrell's with PBC, but it doesn't seem like they're pushing him into the ring with Canelo or Benavidez. But Billy, I don't know. He's some Eye of the Tiger. It seems like he's affiliated with Top Rank. Munguia's with Golden Boy. Pacheco's with Matchroom. They could easily make Munguia Pacheco, but I just don't see that happening either.
The reason I have Plant at number 3 is because he already fought 1 and 2.
And he
boxed them well.
It's weird when you do these rankings. Is it like just fighting ability, or is it like who have they fought? Is it like who you think they can knock off? It's a little bit of
everything.
All three.
It's everything. Yeah,
it's a little bit of
it's not pound for pound. It's not like who kicks whose ass, because I think ultimately if Morrell and Plant fight, depending on when it happens, I mean, it's kind of a pick 'em fight. But because of the background of Plant, what he's done, I got him ahead slightly. We're picking hairs there. Like, I think Morrell's awesome. I think Morrell might actually beat everybody in the weight class.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it yet.
I had a lot of people replying Morrell. Like, there's a lot of hype around him. There's a lot of belief
he's
in what he
fucking excellent.
What he could become. He is very good. I do want to see more of him. I hope 2024 is a big year for him. Yeah, so that's really 160. Like, Munguia, Berlanga, I would like to see next. Canelo, Benavidez, I would like to see next. The others can fall in line. I'd like to see Plant fight Jermall Charlo. That's the
Dude,
fight.
Am I completely out of sorts? I saw somewhere that Benavidez Morrell. Is that just some weird Instagram?
No, I feel like
fake plug?
They were kind of negotiating. They were kind of had a deal in place before Benavidez then.
What do you think about that?
That would be
like
amazing.
That matchup. But to do that before getting Canelo, what do you think about
it's
that for
risky
either guy?
Risky as all hell. I don't think I would not advise.
Way
Benavidez
riskier
to
for
that.
Benavidez, right?
Yes, I would never advise Benavidez to do that as much as I want to be a fight fan
but,
and watch an awesome fight.
But Benavidez wins that fight.
Yeah.
And now I'm not saying he does. I'm saying if he does, how does Canelo avoid him?
But I believe he's in that stance right now that you just said.
He can avoid him still.
No, what I mean is, like, Benavidez is more than qualified, ready for Canelo right now. So why, like, beating Morrell, which is not easy, is not going to solidify you anymore in the eyes of everyone. Maybe Canelo? I don't know.
I think Morrell is the hidden boogeyman of the division that all boxing heads are like, don't fight that guy.
Yeah, he is.
If Benavidez goes right for him, that shows what a dog he is. And if he beats him, everyone in the boxing world is going to be like, dude, Canelo, come on. You got to take this fight.
I would
you
not
got
be
to
shocked.
Fight Benavidez.
The way Benavidez has been
he's
carrying
the
himself.
Way he moves, the way he moves, man, forget it.
He'd do something crazy like that. I don't think
yes,
Samson Lukowicz would advise that. As badly as I would like to see that fight. Like, if I was an advisor, I'd be like, dude,
David's
no.
A bad man.
Just
David's
wait.
A bad man.
He's a crazy dude. He's a crazy man. But that's 168 right now. I enjoyed the fight. Ryder should ride off into the sunset. He got a lot out of his career. I know, maybe a domestic fight if he wants to go out on that. Other than that, pretty good card. Oscar Collazo, a 105-pounder, put on a nice little show there. Did you see De La Hoya tweeted at the beginning of the year? He's like, we are living in the era of inactivity. I will literally pay a fighter $5 million if they fight five championship fights in 1 year. And this
Trust
guy's
me.
Like, I'll do it.
Trust me, we want to.
Yeah.
We always did.
Seems like a lot, though. But this guy is trying it, the 105-pounder. I think he's up to, like, three or two this year, and he's trying to get three more in. And he's really going to...
Two in 2024?
I believe so. I could be wrong here. And this is the
That's
part
crazy.
Of the show where the YouTube comments are going to be like, what are you thinking, Dan? You're off here. Sorry, everybody out there. I wasn't in my notes, but I'm talking... Christina Cruz had probably the strangest moment of the night.
Yeah.
You know, full disclaimer, me and Chris are from New York City. I've called a bunch of her fights because you know her.
I train with her down here in Florida, so.
She's awesome. She's awesome. She's a decorated amateur. And first five rounds, I thought she was winning 4-1. You know,
she was putting on a boxing lesson in the first five, yeah.
And then, you know, things got tougher. Fundora, credit to her. So, Gabrielle Fundora sat down on her shots and, you know, obviously didn't
do,
go
do
right.
You remember Bernard Hopkins was like, go, 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 yeah, after the fifth round. And then Fundora stepped on the gas. 6, 7, 8, 9. She's putting on tons and tons of pressure. Listen, that girl can punch. She showed her inefficiencies early on.
Yeah.
Her boxing skills are not at the level at all. Christina was able to box her shoes off, but her power is real. Her pressure is real. Her conditioning is real.
Yeah, for real. Like, you saw like a seasoned technician in Christina Cruz versus a raw, very green, just outstanding.
Green.
Like,
no one, I don't think anyone thought she was green until that night.
Yeah. And Fundora was a fun fight. And at the end, there was that moment where Cruz turns her back. In the moment, I tweeted bad stoppage. I had everyone dunking on me. Dan Rayfield told me to learn the rules, bro. And everyone's like, yeah, you're wrong, Kenobi. I'm like, okay, maybe I was. In the heat of the moment, I tweeted it out. Sorry. I'm not.
Excuse me.
Sorry. I appreciate everyone feeling the need to correct me. I guess I don't make that many mistakes where they feel like they have to correct me. But, you know, after watching it again, like, yeah, she did turn her back for an extended period of time. She has put out a statement, like, and is now tweeting about it, saying that, you know, I got hit behind the head. It was Southpaw versus Orthodox, and it was an awkward moment. I mean, it just didn't look great, and the refs have to make a split decision. You have to do it really quick, and you know the ref saw the back turned and saw Fundora landed shots, and that was it.
It's tough. I think a lot of that came from Christina's vast, vast amateur experience, where a lot of times fouls go a longer way in the amateurs than they do in the pros. Like, Like, you get hit behind the head in the pros, it's kind of like, hey, watch behind the head, and the fight, the action keeps going. In the amateurs, it's a big break. Boom. Separate.
That's a good point.
Behind the head. Boom, boom, boom. So, the pros is much more of the hurt business than the amateurs is, so.
Yeah, she tweeted out. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm just going to go on the fact that Christina has such a vast amateur background. She's probably used to that treatment by the refs. Very different than pros.
Yeah, she got hit in the back of the head. I'm watching it again. And she stopped. Like, she was waiting. She was thinking there was going to be a stoppage in the – there wasn't a stoppage. Fedora smartly kept hitting, punching the momentum.
Even Fedora, she took a moment.
Yeah, she did.
She was like, all right, she's going to stay there.
Then she threw – I'm watching it right now. Then she threw it right.
Wicked body shot.
Yeah, Cruz said, the momentum of me missing with the hook, tripping on her front foot and getting hit in the back of the head caused me to turn my back. I didn't intentionally turn and was not hurt. The second my body turned, ref should have stepped in before he punched my back. I understand the rules. I understand, like, one of the biggest rules in boxing, you turn your back, automatic, fight's over. It's like,
protect yourself at all times.
Right. It's the biggest rule, number one. I understand that fully. It was a weird, awkward moment. Didn't think it would have mattered. I thought Cruz probably would have lost 6-4. But, you know, I know that she didn't want to go out like that. And it's probably the first loss that she's had in years, decades. Like, this is not someone who has tasted a lot of losses with her amateur.
Yeah, but she showed her class in the pro ranks. And I think that this will allow her. And listen, we see this all the time, right? You got someone who's undefeated and who has a difficult style, who can't get fights. And then they take a step up and they lose in a certain way. Now she can probably get a lot of fights. A lot of these girls are gonna—they'll look at that and be like, "Oh, well, we could fight her for."
But she was 10 years younger. I mean, and she would definitely be in a world champion already. Like, she's 41.
Matters less for the women than the males. You know, a 41-year-old female can definitely go a lot longer and still compete. I think she's gonna get a lot more fights coming up as long as she can keep her head up and get right back in the gym.
Yeah. So that was the card over on Golden Boy. Big news out of the boxing world is the Amazon Prime March 30th first card PBC on Prime. Has been revealed. Tim Tszyu is fighting Keith Thurman in the main event. Rolly Romero, Isaac Cruz, Arizandy Lauer versus Michael Zarafa, and Sebastian Fundora versus Sirhai Boachuk, which will be for the full WBC 154-pound title. If you look at this top to bottom, full offering for a fan at home, this is a very, very nice put-together card.
Three out of the four of those fights, I really like. I'll let you guys guess which is the one I don't.
We'll start with the main event. And a lot of things happened here for PBC to come to Tim Tszyu. Obviously, this was supposed to be Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence. Errol Spence gets beat so badly in their first fight, he takes a long time off. Now we see he has a second. May never fight again. That fight goes by the wayside. Javonta Davis.
Terrence Crawford may never fight again.
I'll get to that in a second. Javonta Davis surely would have been the guy to kick off this PBC on Prime 2. He's dealing with all sorts of things. So sorts of issues on house
apparently
arrest.
Doesn't want to fight again until fall?
I it's hard to keep up with everything with Javonta Davis, but it's something is going on with him where he could not take this fight. So then PBC goes down the line. Like, all right, we got Benavidez. We got some other up-and-coming fighters on our roster, and we have a guy by the name of Tim Tszyu, who is 154-pound champion, who is very marketable, who has an entire country behind him, and is damn
good.
Who's
also an excellent fighter, yes.
So damn good. Let's put him in the ring with...
A name American fighter.
A guy that has fought on pretty much
Ex-name American fighter. Put him in, whoever
Keith
it is.
Thurman. One-time Keith
Thurman. One-time fights, one time a decade, Thurman.
Wow, this was a shocker when I saw this, I'm not going to lie. But the more I chewed on it, the more I digested it, I was like, you know what? Keith has been out of the ring a lot of times. Like, has a long stretch
A
lot of times. Keith has had long stretches of inactivity and has come back and has looked sharp. He did it against Jose Cito Lopez. He did it against Mario Barrios. Problem
he did
is,
not do it again. Wait. He said against who?
He beat Jose Cito Lopez, but he got.
He didn't look. He looked horrible.
I was there. That was nuts. He was running for his life. Running for his life in that one. But he came back and he got his hand raised. Let's just say that. And then against Barrios, that one was the more impressive one because I thought he looked really. Oh
man, he has foot this decade. Shit.
Yes, he has foot.
Keep on Mario Barrios.
Yeah. What year was that? 2021.
2022, early 2022.
Yeah, February so 2022. Ago. 2 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
2 years out of the ring. He's in the mid 30s, 35.
25, 25 months ago, and he is top. Man, BoxRec is so stupid. They sometimes put the
BoxRec on your phone is hard. That's not really made for that. It's made to look in the browser. But I will say this. He's playing a very dangerous game, Keith Thurman. How many times can you do it? You're a guy that was in, you had long periods of inactivity, got up there in age. He's playing a dangerous game. This isn't Jose Cito Lopez. This isn't Mario Barras. This
it's also a weight class he's never been in.
This is, that's another thing too. We'll get to that. This is Tim Zhu. This is a knockout machine, a guy that's in his prime. No disrespect to Jose Cito Lopez or Mario Barrios. I think Tim is a whole nother beast. Like Thurman is going to have his hands full. The fight is at 155 pounds. The WBO title isn't even on the line in this fight. Just a good old-fashioned main event. I think Thurman's going to have his hands full. Zhu is saying inside six rounds, I stop him. Thurman's never been stopped. There are people out there that still believe in Keith Thurman. We'll see what the odds say. The odds makers think of this fight. But this is your main event. It's Tim Zhu. It's his USA party, and PBC's pushing the hell out of him versus Keith Thurman.
Listen, I'm a big fan of Tim Zhu. We've talked about him on air for a while. We talked about him before he was really before he was really that well known over here. Honestly, I think it's a good fight. I think it's a good step up. This is a fight that makes a lot of sense for Tim Zhu. For it to be headlining this first show, don't love that, but I still like the fight.
Well,
and
yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it's a showcase fight for Tim Zhu. And it's kind of one of those fights where you're like, all right, well, how much can the old lion put up against the new kid on the block, right?
Right. If Thurman pushes back on Zhu, though.
So Thurman has the ability. I mean, his nickname was One Time for a long time. He hasn't been One Time in a long time. But he comes out very strong early on. Throws big bombs early on. He's fought, his entire welterweight career at the high level was come out guns blazing.
Yeah.
Hit guys with big shots. If they go, they go. If they don't, I box. And he boxes the rest of the time. And it'll be curious to see if he can get Zhu's respect early. And then for him to box, and maybe to box well enough, especially at an advanced age, against a guy like Tim Zhu, who is so young, and his effort's so strong, and he's big, and his conditioning is good, and he pushes the pressure and the pace. It's a tall ask for Thurman. If Zhu can be the first guy to stop Thurman, which isn't out of this world at all, big statement. Big statement made because he's the first guy to do it. I don't care if he's old. I don't care if he's been active. I don't care if it's the weight class that he's never been in. It is Keith Thurman's head on your roster, and that matters.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot to gain for Zhu here, and I think PBC...
Oh, it's a lot to gain for Zhu. This is a showcase fight for Zhu.
I think PBC is doing something smart here. I think they're rallying behind a guy that's very marketable. They're putting, they're using him in this big showcase, this big PBC on Prime rollout, and they're doing it with a guy that they have a lot invested in, and he's coming over to the U.S. He's selling shirts right now that say the Zhu United States of America, Zhu USA. I love it. I think it's smart because at 154, you know, this could be the division in a year right now. You know, think of Terrence Crawford going up to 154. Think of Errol Spence if he can get everything health-wise together. Think of some of the names that have been at 154, like a Virgil Ortiz and Tim Zhu, something that's been discussed in the past. So if Tim Zhu can establish himself as the new guy at 154 and he can align himself with the powers of PBC and Amazon Prime, it makes sense. From the totality of the card, go down to the next fight. Rolly versus Pitbull. Listen,
I like it.
Kane
I
Adams.
Like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I like it more than Ryan and Rolly.
Yeah, I do like it. And it came out of nowhere. Pitbull is 5'4", 5'5", 140 pounds, which is just hilarious. And he's going to come in and he's going to throw big bombs. Rolly Romero was supposed to fight Ryan Garcia, and that didn't happen. We'll get to the ramifications of that one. But this is for Rolly's 140-pound strap. It's a tough fight. This is a tougher fight for Rolly than Ryan Garcia, Pitbull.
Hell
right?
Yeah. I don't want to see Isak Cruz with anyone at 140. He's not a 140 pounder. He's a small guy. Like I said, he's 5'5.5". He doesn't match up with any 140 pounder in the division except for Rolly. So he's only one that I think he can actually be competitive with at a high level. And he still might, he might win. He might beat Rolly. But I also think Rolly style matches up perfectly for these guys to have a shootout. It is going to be a Rock'em sock'em robots type fight. I like it a lot. We saw Isak Cruz. You and I were both at the Spence Crawford fight. We saw him in the undercard versus Cabrera. It was horrible because he had a guy who was not willing to exchange. That ain't Rolly, bro. Yeah. Rolly's not going to go out there and box. Rolly's going to fucking throw bombs. I like this fight a lot. I like it way more than Ryan.
Who do you favor?
You
got to favor Cruz, right?
I do. I favor Cruz late.
This is why it's a questionable fight, because we'll get to the Ryan Garcia aspect of it. Ryan Garcia tweets out the night before of this PBC announcement.
Yeah.
I got the fight. Here's a fight poster. I'm telling you guys, I know I've been down this road before. I know I've led you down the wrong path. I know I told you Devin Haney. I know you told you Rolly. We went back and forth. I'm telling you guys, this is it. I'm fighting Rolly on April 20th on DAZN pay-per-view. Even Floyd posted it. And if Floyd posted it, you know it's true. Next day, Rolly is now fighting Pitbull Cruz. And Ryan Garcia was rumored to fight both of these guys. So Ryan Garcia does not look good here. That's one aspect of it.
I think the relationship between Ryan and De La Hoya don't look good here.
Well, there's a lot of things, because Ryan is obviously was listening to Floyd Mayweather. He spotted him. He's my mentor.
That was silly.
So Ryan right now looking at? I can't trust Floyd. I can't trust him. Why should I trust him? He's not even my
promoter.
Why
should he have trusted Floyd? He's an opposing promoter. That's actually, guys, for everyone at home who has never been under a boxing promotion contract, that's actually illegal. You cannot talk to another promoter and then figure out your fights without your promoter.
How can they prove that, though?
They can't. This is why he didn't get... But you can't do that.
For a run.
Yeah, he went for a run with a former boxer who happens to be a promoter who wants you to fight his guy so he can get paid. You can't do that. That's in the contracts. You cannot do that. It's illegal. But no one knows about that because they never read a contract. Anyway, it doesn't
matter. Well, I think fans have understood like that there's a lot of legalities in boxing. But I also don't think there's a lot of remorse out there right now, or pity, I should say, for Ryan Garcia. In fact,
Ryan's problem is communication with his promoter. So obviously, like, one guy tweets one thing, one guy or X's one thing, the other guy X's the other thing, and then the next thing they're X'ing at each other about wanting to fight.
You mean Twitter?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Trying to be up to date, right?
I thought you meant like ex-girlfriend, but like, which kind of has that vibes to it.
Same vibes. Because
Floyd is the new girlfriend.
Yeah, they fight like girlfriends anyway. But
Floyd's the new
but
girl.
Yeah, no, I think Ryan's communication with his promoter is obviously not very good. I actually think Rolly was really smart. I think he trolled Ryan and utilized his marketing, utilized his fan base to get attention to what his fight's going to be, and then he announces another fight. Pretty expert level troll.
Well,
from,
I'll push back on that then.
From Rolly.
I'll push back on Rolly. He's tweeting out after this fight gets announced. It was never Garcia versus Rolly. It was always Rolly versus Garcia. Ha ha, you don't have a fight now. And I'm thinking in my head, like, bro, like, you were undoubtedly going to make more money to fight Ryan Garcia in a main
event. Yeah, but he's not in control, dude. That's the real thing. He's not in control.
What do you mean? He was going to make more money to fight Ryan Garcia.
He, as the fighter, Romero, Rolly, is not in control of who he fights. That's my point.
Well, that's another thing too. Like, none of these guys are bosses or what they say they are.
Right. Everyone thinks they are.
Right. But the point is, it's like, dude, think of this from Rolly. Obviously, now that you said he doesn't have control, it makes a lot more sense. But you could have went from main event with Ryan Garcia on April 20th, would have been a way bigger payday, to potentially losing your title to Isak Cruz, who's going to be the favorite. And then what? You don't have a title attached to you, Rolly. Like, there isn't a reason to fight you.
Rolly can't call up his promoter and be like, hey, I want to fight this guy this date. Let's go. He's not that guy. Not that guy. Never been that guy.
Like the clip. You're not that guy, pal.
Not that guy, pal. Sorry. You might be that guy one day. I don't think so. But you're not that guy now. You definitely can't do that, especially with Ryan. You cannot call up and be like, I'm fighting Ryan in the main event. No, you're not. You're fighting Isak Cruz in the undercard.
Right,
that's what guy you are.
I think they all kind of look kind of silly right now. Eddie Hearn over the weekend was part of the Ryder. He represented Ryder, so he's getting a lot of questions asked by all the reporters out there. And Eddie's like, "Hey, now Ryan, come back to us. Come back to Devin Haney. Come crawling back." Ryan Garcia has zero leverage. You know, if anyone has ever been in negotiation, like, if you don't have any leverage, you're screwed. So Ryan Garcia, if he wants to make a Devin Haney fight, because that's really the only big fight out there, unless he fights like another Oscar Duarte type. He doesn't have any leverage in that fight with Haney.
Ryan needs to fight two or three Oscar Duartes.
That would be smart, right?
In the next in this year, in calendar 2024, he should fight three Oscar Duartes, quote unquote, and then look for a big fight in 2025 or end of this year.
I just don't think he has the patience. This guy is like always looking to be a dreamer.
Then he doesn't want to be world champion.
Yeah, well, he's gonna have to definitely wait until the fall to fight Rolly.
You see me wiping off the drywall on my shirt?
Yeah, Chris is making.
I'm Bob the Builder over here, guys. Sorry,
see the
shit.
I thought that was the design of the hat.
No. That is drywall and.
It looks kind of cool. It fits the hat.
Yeah. It's a Wu-Tang.
That's a nice hat right there. 1992 Wu-Tang Clan. Cream. Cash rules everything around me. Cash rules everything
Cream,
around the 140.
Get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
It rules everything around the 140-pound division. So Ryan's not going to get a fight, a big fight until the fall. If Rolly wins, then Rolly Ryan is there. I don't think Ryan will fight Devin Haney, right? Do you see Ryan going back?
No,
I think
Ryan fights the winner of this.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Isak or Rolly, you know.
That's really it. That is the offering. Oh, and then this, Emerson Lee Lara, Michael Zarafa. I haven't seen much of Lara. He's potentially.
This is the fight I don't care about at all.
He's a middleweight champion. This is breeze right past.
Who is?
Emerson Lee Lara, WBA.
Who cares? Next one.
Sebastian Fundora, Sergey Bochuk. Sergey Bochuk is one of the best power
Badass
punchers
dude.
That you don't know about. He's 18-0 with 18 knockouts. And
Badass
he's
guy.
Right. He's just been waiting for. An opportunity. Sebastian Fundora, we know him long and hard. He's a long, long man. And
pause.
Yeah. And he went down hard against Brian Mendoza. There are some out there like, how the hell does Sebastian Fundora get a title shot off of a loss? Well, Mendoza was stepped up and fought Zhu. So he went there and Fundora stayed
and did
in the
well.
Ranking.
He did well.
Yeah, and Fundora stayed in the rankings. But this now is for the full 154-pound title because they put Jermell Charlo champion in recess because he's dealing with all sorts of stuff. This is a shootout type of fight. Like, we got two shootouts on this card. Fundora, Bochuk, Rolly Romero, Isak Cruz. The main event is intriguing for all the reasons that we said. So it is a fun card. They're also going to have a free over on PBC, over on Prime. There's going to be like three or four fights that lead into it. So all in all, I think it's a pretty good offering. It's not what fans thought it was, but I think it's going to be a fun night of fights.
Dude. Fundora coming off that bad knockout the way he got KO'd to fight this guy, that's something.
Sink or swim.
Yeah, sink or swim. I mean, it's a world title fight, so you should be sink or swim. But yikes, man, that's
big one.
That's a tall order. Tall
I like
pass.
It being the first fight of the pay per view too, because that's
great fight. It's an awesome fight.
It's gonna be a
Lara should be the first fight.
Maybe it is. I'm just assuming. I don't know the order. I know that Rolly is the co-mate, and obviously Zhu Thurman is the main event. Bochuk is a bad dude. Anyone that doesn't know about him should go check out some
check
of his highlights. He is with, I think, Tom Loeffler, who has always been around the sport and always been able to identify talent.
And his only loss to Brandon Adams, who is a sneaky danger. No, he's got one loss. Got knocked out in the eighth round by Brandon Adams. And Brandon Adams
was a sneaky,
dangerous guy.
That was on Ring City. Remember Ring City?
Yes, Ring City, yes.
R.I.P. Ring City. That was quick.
Yeah.
In Puerto Rico. I remember that fight. Got knocked out in
sneaky, dangerous guy.
Yeah. So that's the news of boxing. I'm sure there'll be more. I think there's going to be a press conference to officially announce this over in Los Angeles. They're going to be pushing Tim Zhu very, very hard. It's the Zhu SA. Party in the Zhu SA.
Listen, I'm for it. I like Zhu. I think he's a future star. I think 6 months from now, we're going to look back to this and be like, oh, remember that time he headlined that card? Now he's headlining pay-per-views? Watch out.
Well, Tim I will Zhu. Say this before we say bye. So the next one after this, from what I've heard, next pay-per-view, Prime is May 4th. That's obviously Canelo. So the one after that's got to be either June or July. When is Terrence Crawford going to fight again? We're talking about a year out of the ring after your biggest win. I understand this. It's not been out of his control once again. It's out of his control. Spence is injured and the rematch.
I know you listeners back there. I know you hold us to the irons, to the fire,
to the coals.
To the Coles, that's what I was looking for. I said, this is the year that we're going to see Terrence Crawford retire undefeated. Didn't say
he's not
going to
fight again?
Didn't say he was going to fight again.
Great prediction, because you really left a lot of options there.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not May, because that's Canelo's date, and we're looking at June or July, same thing with Tank. Like, Tank's not going to fight in May. So two guys that fought in the spring and the summer of 2023, two of the bigger names in PBC, two of the bigger names in boxing, Terrence Crawford and Gervonta, may not be fighting until the summer or the fall. It's a long year.
Leaves a vacuum for a lot of fighters to step up.
That's a good way to look at it.
Well, Inoue is fighting Neary, which is crazy.
That is May 6th. Tuesday after Canelo. Dude,
that is an awesome weekend of boxing.
Or yeah, fans will get there, Phil.
Weekend into weekday. Are we going to Vegas for that? Are we going to Vegas for Canelo?
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to do a live for Inoue?
6 Tuesday in the morning? Why not? I mean, this is what we do, right?
We should fly home. We should fly home late from Vegas. Get home like Monday night. And just ride it through.
Or right into Inoue, knockout, Neary, 6th, 7th
and
round.
And do nonstop. Hey, fans.
That's what I do anyway when I'm fine, when I'm not sleep deprived. Yeah, a lot. I think the boxing world is going to really start picking up. We're out of January. January was a little tough. And then we got Teofimo. And we got Fury versus Usyk, which I can't even believe.
Jermaine Ortiz is looking fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, he ripped up that poster. I saw that up poster. I got scared.
Dude, he's bigger than Tio. He's a bigger guy than Tio. Moving up in weight and bigger still.
Yeah, that's February 8th. And then mid-February is Fury Usyk. And then all of a sudden, away we go. And then we're going to be every single weekend. That's our show. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Go out and do everything you got to do to promote this show. Chris, continue to build your toilet in your new home.
It's a bathroom. Guys, the toilet's done. I already put the toilet in. It's the vanity. It's the mirror. It's the lights. It's the shower. I'm doing all of it.
Wow. I'd be lost.
Entirely new bathroom.
All I know how to do is talk boxing. It's pretty much my only skill.
Dude, I got so many skills.
He's got a lot of skills. He's a skillful guy. Skillful fighter.
He's still I wear hats that have stains on them from
a lot of different hats. Hope everyone enjoys their fight week ahead. I'll be on the call on Friday over in Orlando for H2O Silv. Ashton Silv is fighting in the main event.
That kid's good.
He's very good. And I'm calling the fights alongside Nonito Donaire, the Filipino Flash. It's his broadcast debut.
Solid.
So
he's
I'm
going
to have to, you know, give him
tell him we're buddies. That's my guy.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely. All right, guys. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of the DM. Good night.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.